It's about a minute after 8 o'clock, and it is, of course, Wednesday, Inauguration Day Wednesday, and the new president has an aggressive 100 days planned. And who better to have with us this morning than Laureen Gilbert, Wealthwise Financial Services and the Wealthwise Moment. Welcome in, Laureen. How are you today?
Good morning. Good morning, Ed. Thanks for having me. Doing well here. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for being a part of the program on such a busy morning. I know it's a busy morning for you. In less than an hour, Joe Biden will be sworn in as the 46th president of the United States. I'm curious, how should we expect the markets to react?
Well, I think what we've seen already is that the markets have settled into the new administration, and it's been a positive movement in the market. A lot of people feared the time of the election, and we kept saying, you'll remember, Ed, at the end of the year, that that November and December tend to be very strong months in the market overall, and that we were expecting that, and that's exactly what happened. A lot of people were still concerned around January 5th and now January 20th, but the message to investors is to separate out political concerns from what is going on in with market concerns. And oftentimes they're very disjointed, very different things that people are looking at when they're investing versus what you may see going on in DC or anywhere with regards to politics. So I would say we're on a trend of a recovery story in the market apart from anything that goes on politically.
Okay, and I think that's a beautiful way to put it. Thank you, because I think that there is from the guy on the street, there seems to be a disconnect, but there has to be a disconnect, is I guess what I'm hearing there. Now, since Election Day, stocks have gained about 13%, and marking that's the best post-election market performance for a new president in modern history. If we're to stay on that trajectory, is it absolutely essential that a new stimulus package, a giant one like $1.9 trillion, be passed?
So let's talk about market returns. So I'll tell you, during the Trump administration, we had one of the strongest markets in history. And if we just look at those numbers, they are astounding. So, and then what's happened now is you're talking about just since the election time to now, but that was all during the Trump administration. I think now it's time to see what happens with economic policies, because what drove the market so well during the Trump administration was a reduction in regulation and a reduction in taxation. And so what's interesting now, and we know that from what Biden's already said and what he plans to do in his first 100 days, is what we're seeing is going to be an increase in regulation and an increase in taxation. So then what happens? Then we've got the concerns about what will the market do then, because that will hurt both the consumer as well as corporations. However, to balance that out by having an aggressive stimulus package, you then put money back in people's pockets. So in a sense, it is a redistribution of wealth, and that is the intent of the Biden administration. Very similar to the Obama administration would be this concept of a redistribution of wealth, taking wealth from the highest earners and corporate America, and then putting it in the pockets of those who don't have as much. And so that's really what we're going to see, and I would say the theme of the next 4 years that you can expect to see is this kind of redistribution of wealth. So whether we're talking about the corporate tax rate going from 21 to 28%, we're raising the personal income tax rate to 39.6%. And by the way, I would also say that in addition to those federal income tax increases that we're probably going to see, I also expect to see states looking at their income tax structure as well. Now, they hopefully, you know, from their standpoint, they hope to get money out of the stimulus package, right? What we're going to see in this aggressive stimulus package is money to the states, and that's the part that's so controversial with the Republicans. Republicans are saying, why should we bail out these states that had, you know, bad policies to begin with? Why are we doing that?
Well, because either you got way, us into I this think, problem, right? It wouldn't that be the response, Bill? Because it was you that got us into this.
I don't think so, Ed. I don't think that's the answer. You can't have, you know, people from you know, I think when it comes to states, in the way that we're set up as the United States of America, is that states need to take responsibility for their own budget and their own situation. And you know, let's look at California. We did all these budget cuts, anticipating needing to have budget cuts for the new fiscal year. And then there was this unexpected surplus, and it's all being spent. So budgets were revamped. That's a problem. That's an ongoing problem in California and in other states that then want the federal government to come bail them out. So anyway, back to our topic of the stimulus package. You heard Yellen in her time before the Senate, and I don't think there's going to be any issues with getting her confirmed. She, you know, has proven herself an amazing woman. We've talked before, but you know, she's in that camp of aggressive stimulus package. Spend whatever needs to be spent today. We'll worry about the debt tomorrow. And of course, from the Republican side, there's concern about continuing to do these huge stimulus packages above and beyond what we need to. So it's finding, you know, how do you find the balance really between what do people need? Yes, certainly people need food on the table for those who are struggling there on the end of the spectrum where people are hurting the most. Those people definitely need help.
Right.
But
right.
We need to make sure that it doesn't go too far.
Right. And what we had spoken about earlier being that disconnect is the reason that Janet Yellen really is thinking act big right now. And maybe they took a lesson from 2009 in that the package wasn't big enough then and it was a sluggish recovery.
Yeah. And I think that is, I think you're right in that that is the approach is let's throw as much money at this as possible. But, you know, when it comes down to, let's just say unemployment insurance, you have people that are not accepting jobs because they're making more money on unemployment. The same thing happened in the 08-09 crisis too. So that part is a problem. And, you know, that's the problem. You know, when you have these, you have no way to have the checks and balances with some of these programs. Money just goes out, and
who
knows if those people could really, you know, go out and actually get a job.
I got to be honest. I got to think that percentage of human beings that do that, that are willing, it's only, and then unemployment is what, 13 weeks max, sometimes 20 weeks if it, with an extension. I got to think that the people that are staying home to collect unemployment is such a small percentage of those who really have jobs, who want jobs, who the working force. There is a working force. So I really think that those that, yes, they're getting the additional $400 in unemployment insurance. That's such a limited percentage of the population that is actually unemployed and wants to get back to work.
I don't know. I will tell you from personal experience, I've actually seen it, Ed. I've seen people come in and say, you know, I don't want to take the job because I'm making X amount on unemployment. So I'm just saying it's out there.
Yeah.
And yes, we need a safety net. We need a safety net, and that's what it's there for. But we don't want it to be something that will become dependent on government assistance, and they don't really go out and look for a job.
Let me ask you a tax question again really fast.
Sure.
Biden, as part of the way he wants to raise revenue, is to require American companies to pay a minimum tax of 21% on foreign income. What are we looking for? What are they paying right now on foreign income?
Yeah, so that's why with the tax reform that we had here, where Trump tried to get that money that was sitting overseas back into America, mm-hmm. He offered that opportunity to do that because what happens is a lot of these companies domicile themselves in other countries where they're not having to pay U.S. tax on the money that's out there. So it's a way to say what Biden is saying with this proposal would be you can't just park your money there. You're going to have to pay taxes on it. And I do think that that's been a tax loophole that we've got to close up. And there are tax loopholes that need to be closed up. And those are the kinds of things that some of these large corporations have been able to get away with and not pay taxes. So I do think that we need to tighten that up and bring home the bacon, bring home that money into the United States and have those companies pay taxes.
Okay. One of the executive orders he's going to sign is to shut down the Keystone pipeline. Thoughts?
So it's really interesting because Keystone knew that they were on the chopping block. And so just last week, they announced a zero carbon emission promise, right? Which is timely. And so they're trying to save themselves. And they'd be spending $1.7 billion on solar, wind, and battery power. They also were making the commitment to a union workforce and that they would eliminate all greenhouse gases by 2030. That, you know, that's unbelievable, right? That's a complete change of tune.
Right.
So I think what's interesting is by making that a key part of Biden's promises, it is changing corporate behavior in a positive way. And so with that, I hope that the Biden administration will look at that and say, wow, okay, our threatening of shutting down has actually worked for them to make these promises. And don't forget, this is a project with our neighbors, our good neighbors, our Canadian neighbors to the north, that will help them and help the United States. It's an $8 billion project to provide the infrastructure, more infrastructure inside the United States. So the unions are for it, right? And the Biden administration, of course, is tied to the union. So I think it's going to be hard for them, and it will be interesting to see what they do now that Keystone has come up with these promises. What will the Biden administration do? Will they look at it? And here's the question. Will they hold to ideology or will they become more in the, you know, practical side of the side of the camp, right? Will they look at it and go, okay, we need to be practical about this and admit they're changing their ways? Or are we going to hold to our ideology and we said we were going to do this, and we're going to do it, even though they made these promises?
And
so that'll be interesting to see.
And it'd be interesting to see if Keystone keeps the promises that they've made.
Well, they would have to, right? In other words, they'd have to monitor that to make sure that they do keep those promises.
Right. One of the other executive actions is to ban evictions and foreclosures until March 31st. To the property owner, to the person with the mortgage, what does that mean?
Well, that's exactly what makes things tough, Ed. And, you know, it makes people, you know, if I'm looking, let's just say I'm an investor looking to buy a building right now, where I have to worry about the fact that anybody I get in there is going to be exempt from paying me? No. So for the existing property owners who have tenants in properties, it's problematic because literally for any reason, in a sense, they cannot pay their bills. So it makes it very difficult for property owners. And therefore, will the property owners be able to keep those properties? And what does that mean for them? Because for many property owners, they're dependent upon that income. Many people call it retirees. A retiree, let's say you had banked on having that income stream during your retirement, and now you don't have that income stream, what do you do? So it is a ripple effect, and it's problematic for those who own property.
Okay. And his setting his sights on March 31st as being the cutoff, and if in fact that we are still in this crisis, and we still will be in March 31st, there may be an extension there. I wanted to save the best news for last. Please give us an update on your dad.
Oh, well, thanks for asking. My dad is out of the hospital. He's in rehabilitation, and he's doing incredibly well. And thanks so much for all of your support and listener support and everybody who has emailed and called and asked about him. And he is just doing fabulously well. He is off of oxygen, and he is beating the coronavirus. And it's pretty remarkable because he had a heart transplant 20 years ago. So he's a heart transplant survivor. and now also a COVID survivor at 85 years old. So he's still fighting the good fight.
All right. And he was getting nothing but great vibes from our listening audience and from here at the radio station as we
Thank you.
We all look forward to speaking and loving you each week. Laureen Gilbert, Wealthwise Financial Services. How do we get in touch with you?
949-748-1177 or wealthwisefinancial.com.
As always, a pleasure speaking with you. And thank you for taking the time with us this morning.
Thank you, Ed.
Laureen Gilbert, Wealthwise Financial Services, and the Wealthwise Moment.